Welcome to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Our faith family meets at 110 Longview Avenue in Springfield, Ohio on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. At Maplewood, we're learning to love God and learning to love others. For more information, visit our website at maplewoodnazarene.org or find us on Facebook. Now, it's time for this week's message.
Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Jesus is concluding his Sermon on the Mount, and to his disciples and all the people who were listening, he says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open." Father, we pray this morning that you'd anoint this time, that you'd help me to deliver the message that you placed on my heart, and that you'd help us to learn how to become people of prayer. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I almost needed to learn how to say amen there, didn't I? You can be seated. Well, 25 years ago this winter, Pastor Vicki and I and our family, we were in crisis mode. 25 years ago this winter, we were in crisis mode. It's hard to believe that a quarter of a century has actually passed. We had just moved from Delaware to Marysville, and we were kind of still unpacking. We were still getting used to living in this new house. And Pastor Vicki, 25 years ago this winter, was pregnant with Andrew, sitting here on the front row. Sorry, Andrew. I'm not going to talk about you too much, but you're the centerpiece of my sermon this morning. Pastor Vicki, she was pregnant with Andrew, and it was a cold winter night. And we were really not settled in yet, and a scary thing happened. Pastor Vicki went into premature labor. And she still had 2-3 months to go before she was due to deliver Andrew. And her doctor was all the way back over in Delaware, 25 minutes away from where we lived. And it was in the middle of the night, and I remember that long drive from Marysville to Delaware to get her to the hospital. And her thyroid had been in overdrive since she had given birth to Stephen. And so your thyroid, if you're a woman and you're pregnant, it does all sorts of crazy things to your body, and it becomes risky in the pregnancy. So Andrew's pregnancy was considered a high-risk pregnancy. And this thyroid issue was causing complications. And we knew it was high risk, but we didn't expect premature labor to happen that night. That wasn't on our radar screen. And thankfully, after a lot of prayer and a lot of care from the doctors, we got things under control. No labor. Labor was slowed down. No early baby, thank goodness. No problem. Everything was settled in that moment. But to prevent Andrew from entering the world prematurely, Pastor Vicki was put on bed rest for 2 months. 2 months. Her mom actually had to come in and help us with the other boys. I had to work. So her mom came in and did all sorts of great stuff for us. And Pastor Vicki camped out on our couch in our living room in our new house in Marysville. She pastored from our couch. She was on staff at the Marysville Church of the Nazarene at that time, and she pastored from that couch. And you've probably heard me tell the story in the past. She directed the church choir in our living room and dining room from that couch for the Easter cantata that was coming up. From that couch, she did all this stuff. And thankfully, again, after a lot of prayer and a lot of care, Andrew was born on March 20th, 1999, a quarter of a century ago. Both of us spent a lot of time asking and seeking and knocking for God's intervention in that situation. We were scared. It was crisis mode. But we kept at it. We kept asking, seeking, and knocking. And she kept that baby inside of her until it was time to come out. We prayed. Our family prayed. Our church prayed. And thank God, God answered prayer. God answers prayer. Amen? This week I want to continue to focus on what it takes for us to become a people of prayer. And Pastor Vicki mentioned, we've been focused on three things that Maplewood needs to do if we're going to grow as a church. And I'm drilling these into you because I don't want you to forget it. We need to be filled fresh with the Holy Spirit, each and every single one of us. Need to have a fresh experience with Christ in our life. We need to, as a church, have spiritual babies. We need to be responsible as faith followers of Jesus to be bringing people to the cross. Each and every one of us has that responsibility. We need to have spiritual babies. And we need to become a people of prayer. And you'll recall a couple weeks ago I told you we need to pray like monks. Right? We need to pray like monks. And I hope you've been living into this challenge to pray three times a day. Are you living it? It's hard. It's a hard thing to do as life happens. Praying three times a day. Lord's Prayer in the morning. Praying for the lost at midday. And a prayer of gratitude in the evening. Hard work. A challenge to keep up that pace. But remember, our prayer life, the prayers that we pray, become the scaffolding or the trellis upon which our spiritual life is actually built. Without a prayer life, we really don't have a spiritual life. So the more we're praying on a regular basis and getting in that rhythm of prayer, we're building our spiritual lives. Becoming people of prayer requires persistency. Persistency. I think this is why Jesus taught his followers to pray the way he directs them here in Matthew chapter 7. Prayer warriors are persistent. Prayer warriors are pesky. Would you consider your prayer life to God? Would God consider you a pest? Would God consider you pesky in your prayer life? Does he see your back or does he see your face, as Pastor Vicky taught last week? Prayer warriors are pesky. They do not give in. Prayer warriors do not give up. They just keep coming back again and again and again, relentlessly praying prayers of faith, interceding on behalf of the needs in faith to God who can answer. Jesus preaches here for us to be persistent. Jesus teaches us, keep asking, church. Keep asking. Don't be afraid to keep praying over the same things over and over and over again. I don't want to be a nag. Have you ever felt that way in your prayer life? It's like, well, I asked for it once. I feel like I'm being a nag. I feel like if I pray for it more than once, I'm really not trusting God. I really haven't given it to Him. We've all felt like that before. Don't be afraid to keep praying over and over the same things. As a matter of fact, I would encourage you to make sure that as you're praying and asking over and over again, make sure you're saying it out loud. Say it out loud. Utter those words so that your head can hear it, your heart can feel it, and bring it even more meaning. What are you praying for? Have you ever uttered those words out loud? A lot of times our prayer time, I know my personal prayer time, it's me being quiet, me kind of talking in my mind to God. And most of you pray that way too, I'm sure. But has that need you've been praying for, that one that desperately clings to your heart and it's really something that burdens your soul, have you ever prayed it out loud to God? Ask. Right? Keep asking. Say it out loud. Be bold in your intercession. If you can't say it out loud, you're really not being bold when you pray. Are you bold enough to say it out loud, to utter that need out loud so God can hear it? Keep asking. Jesus also teaches us, keep seeking. Keep seeking. We often come to prayer seeking. And yet we don't really know sometimes what we're really looking for. Jesus teaches us to keep seeking, even if we don't know what we're looking for. If we keep seeking, He says, you will find. Seek it, seek Him out, you will find Him. If we keep seeking, we will find what we need. Sometimes we know exactly what we're praying for. Sometimes we know exactly what we need, but the answer seems to elude us in our prayers. I remember a time, a couple of years ago, I lost a set of car keys to my car, to my Honda Accord. Pastor Vicky had driven my car, and I'm not casting blame this morning, this is just the facts of the matter. Pastor Vicky had driven my car, and we thought that the keys maybe had fallen in between the seat, or maybe they had fallen in the yard out in the dark. And we looked everywhere inside that car. We turned it upside down, inside out, looking for those keys. I used a magnet to try to get in between the seats and everything. We could not find the keys to this car. We looked on the ground everywhere. I got that magnet out again, and I was just trying to see if there was that maybe they got stepped on and buried in the ground or something like that. We could not find the keys. We knew what we were looking for, but they eluded us. Where are the keys? And, you know, we never did find them while we owned the car. We never did find them. I traded that car in, got another vehicle, and just on one random day, maybe a year or more later, Pastor Vicky's going through her purse, and you know what she found in her purse? The keys. We've been looking for these keys everywhere, and she had been carrying them around in her purse the whole time. And what had happened was the lining of her purse had ripped. The lining had ripped and the keys had dropped in between the lining and the outer layer of the purse. And so we didn't even know to look there. She had been carrying around what we were looking for the whole time. Prayer is like that sometimes as we're seeking. We're seeking and we can't find. The answer eludes us. And Jesus teaches us to keep seeking and we'll find the answers we're looking for. Sometimes we've been carrying the answers around the whole time that we've been seeking within ourselves and we don't even realize it. And some of you are nodding your heads because you've been there before. Ask. Keep asking. Seek. Keep seeking. Be persistent, Jesus says. And Jesus says, keep knocking. Keep knocking. He says, knock and the door will be open. Now what happens when you go up to somebody's door and you knock on their door? Hopefully they don't come at you with a gun. These days you don't know, right? Or hopefully their pit bull, Pete, doesn't greet you or something like that, right? You come to our door and you knock Pepper Jane, no matter where she's at. She'll let us know you're there before the doorbell ever rings. Jesus says, knock and the door will be opened. And when we go up and knock on somebody's door, they typically open the door and they meet us at the threshold of the doorway, right? You open the door to see who's there. Nobody likes to have their door knocked on. But you know what? Jesus says, knock on my door anytime. I would love for you to knock on my door. When we continue to keep knocking on the door, we're asking God to meet us at the threshold of our questions. Think about that. When we continue knocking on the door, we continue to invite God to meet us at the threshold of our questions or our needs. God, meet me in my question marks. Meet me in my question marks. To become people of prayer, we have to become comfortable not only asking questions, but we also have to be comfortable with God asking us questions in the midst of the conversation. You see, when we're knocking on heaven's door during that scary pregnancy, when Pastor Vicky and I, when we were knocking on the door a quarter of a century ago, our question was, God, can you help us? God, can you save our baby? We needed help. We needed a power beyond us to help us in that moment of crisis. Now, I recall it was not the first time I had asked God for help. Help save our baby. Wasn't the first time we've been in that situation. Because you see, the rest of the story is, a few years prior, there was another baby. Andrew isn't the third of three. Andrew's the fourth of four. Something you may not have known about the cases. Again, Pastor Vicky's thyroid was out of kilter following Stephen's birth, and about 18 months prior, she was also pregnant. And we lost child number three to a miscarriage. And I remember keeping a firm chin through that whole ordeal. I remember laying in bed one night and we were just processing everything and I'm crying and just my heart pouring out. And I was knocking on heaven's door, just laying there in bed. Pound, pound, pound. I was angry. Why, God? Why did you let that baby die? I was asking tough questions in that moment. I was seeking answers, demanding them. I was knocking hard on the door, and over time, as I knocked and I knocked, I want to tell you, God eventually met me at the threshold of my question. Hard story to tell. But as I knocked and as I prayed, God met me in my question. And one day, many years later, as I was reflecting on all of this, He made it really clear to me. I was just reflecting one day, and I didn't audibly hear the Holy Spirit, but I felt the Holy Spirit speaking in my heart, saying, Joe, I know your pain. I know your pain. Joe, I know what it's like to lose a child. But you need to trust me in this. You need to trust me in this. You need to remain persistent in your faith, Joe. Even though it makes no sense to you, God said, you just need to trust me. Can you do that? Can you just trust me blindly with no answers to your question? Can you just trust me? Can you do that, Joe? You see, God met me in my questions. He met me, and He encouraged me, even in the midst of my questions, to remain faithful, no matter what was ahead. And that's really where the rubber meets the road when it comes to truly becoming people of prayer. Do we have the courage to remain faithful to God, even in the silence? Do we have the courage to remain faithful to God, even in the questions? Do we have the courage to remain faithful to God, even in the midst of the most tragic circumstances? See, as human beings, we tend to blame God for our unanswered prayers. What's that Garth Brooks song? I thank God for unanswered prayers. But in reality, most of the time, we blame God for our unanswered prayers. And I know that's where I was when we lost case baby number 3. I was angry. I was tempted to give up. I was tempted to throw in the towel. This was a true test. This was like where the rubber met the road with my faith and my faith walk. It was a pivotal, seminal moment. I was ready to throw in the towel. And in my heart, I was blaming God for the loss of that child. But as I continued to knock, and as God continued to meet me in my questions, I was learning something. I was being taken to school, if you will. I was learning that God had big shoulders. I was learning that God could take my hard questions. I was learning that God could take my persistent asking and seeking and knocking. He did not see me as a pest. He did not see me as pesky or an annoyance. Even when I was pounding on the door, I was learning that God loved me and God cared for me and for Victoria and for our family. But most importantly, I learned that as we are persistent and bold in our prayers, as we continue to pray and stick with it, what I learned was to find the courage to allow God, who I had labeled the perpetrator of my pain in my mind during that time, I had the courage to allow God to become the healer of my heart. See, I have labeled God in my heart. You are the perpetrator of my pain. You are the one to blame. And that's what happens when prayers don't get answered some of the time. He's a perpetrator. He's the one who did it. We blame God. But as we continue to ask and seek and knock And as we allow Him to work in our hearts, as we become people of prayer, we realize He's not the perpetrator of our pain. We realize that in reality, He wants to be the healer of our hearts. Instead of blaming Him for not answering our prayers, we learn to trust in God even in the silence. Even in the silence. When Vicki was in premature labor with Andrew, yes, there was a sense of urgency in my prayers, but at the same time, there was also this newfound sense of trust in the God who is able. In the God who is able. We know we are becoming people of prayer when we learn that to pray with persistency is to trust God regardless. Regardless of the circumstances. Are you able to trust God regardless of the circumstances? Father Abraham learned to pray with persistency. We know the Old Testament story of Abraham. He learned to trust God regardless. We know the story of how he trusted God right up to the point of being ready to strike his son Isaac with a knife. The promise of the Father. He was holding the knife up on the altar on the mountaintop, ready to kill his son because God had asked it of him. And he was ready to bring that knife down on the table of sacrifice. And the angel said, "Stop!" Abraham, with knife raised, trusting God regardless. Jesus himself learned to pray with persistency. He learned to trust the Father regardless of the outcome. Right there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Fully man, fully human. We see him persistently praying. The scriptures tell us he was praying and he was sweating drops of blood. He was praying so hard, so persistent. He was being pesky. He's persistently praying, "Take this cup from me." And as he worked through that night of fervent, persistent prayer, he went from, "Take this cup to me," to, "But not my will, but your will be done, Father." And Jesus knows what it feels like to be abandoned by God. I mean, he teaches us so much about persistent prayer. We see him on the cross, praying out, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" Have you ever felt forsaken by God? Jesus knows. Jesus knows that feeling. He knows what it's like to be forsaken. And yet, he did not lose faith in who he was. Amen? In the same way as followers of Jesus, we have to learn to become people of persistent prayer regardless of the earthly outcomes. Our faith is something bigger than what we can perceive with our senses. It's got to be bigger than what we can see, feel, hear, taste, smell, experience. It's what faith is. Got to believe in something unseen, something unheard, something unfelt. And our faith can grow into something bigger that gives us the courage to allow God to become the healer of our hearts. The healer of our hearts. And you're probably listening to this morning. You're like, "How, Pastor? You have a lot of great platitudes this morning. Help me out. How can I buy into this? Give me something to latch onto. Give me a foothold so I can grow that kind of faith in my life. Because I'm really struggling down here in the trenches." And this morning, I've been reading a book, and I want to credit the book. It's called Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools. And I would encourage you all to read it. It's a great book. I read it while I was sick this summer. And I read in that book this insight into something I'd never realized before in the book of Revelations that I think gives us a foothold on how to pray when it seems like the wheels are falling off and God's not there and our prayers are going unanswered. I point us to the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 5, and I'm not going to read it to you. You can go read it this afternoon. I'll let you study the Bible this afternoon. But in Revelation chapter 5, where this picture of heaven is painted. This picture of heaven is painted where God is on His throne. And everybody's worshiping God. And God is portrayed on His throne as collecting the prayers of the saints. God is collecting the prayers of the saints in Revelation chapter 5. And in the book of Revelation, we think of what we see predicted in heaven as happening in the future. But I would tell you, my friends, that what we read in the book of Revelation is actually what is happening now in heaven. In many of these chapters. It's happening outside of eternity. God is seen collecting the prayers of all the saints. Every prayer you've ever prayed, God is collecting. For every persistent, pesky prayer we pray, I want you to know this morning, church, that God is collecting those prayers. He's collecting every single one. Just like you parents out there scrapbook all your kids' pictures. Anybody scrapbook here? Got a couple, just like you scrapbook, God is collecting those prayers. He cherishes those prayers. I have pictures of my dad from years back that my mom had scrapbooked. I cherish those pictures of my dad now. They are precious to me. And just as precious as those pictures are to me, your prayers are precious to God. He is collecting the prayers of all the saints. And then you fast forward a couple of chapters forward in Revelation. I believe it's in Revelation chapter 8. We're shown another picture where the collection of prayers that God has of all the saints are poured out on all the earth with flashes of thunder and lightning as part of the process of God making all things new. Isn't that cool? God is collecting your prayers, friends, brothers, sisters. He's collecting those. He cherishes those prayers. And He's not just collecting them to scrapbook them. He's collecting those prayers because they are the ingredients. Your persistency in prayer becomes the ingredients of what God is using and will be using to make all things new. God hears you. He's not unmoved. And there's going to come a day for those of you who have unanswered prayers in your life right now. There's going to come a day when all the tragedy is going to be undone. I'm telling you, do you believe it? Do you believe it, church? Do you believe it? I don't believe you believe it. I think you're asleep. Do you believe that there's coming a day when all the tragedy is going to be undone? There's going to be a day when all the injustices of this world are going to be made right. Amen? There's going to be a day when all the pain and suffering is going to be healed. There's going to be a day that's going to come when all those tears are going to be dried up. There's going to be a day that's going to come when I'm finally going to be able to meet case baby number 3. This is the hope that fuels people of persistent prayer. We've got to learn to become people of prayer. We've got to learn this perspective that as we pray, even though we may not see an answer right this second, even though God may not answer it the way we want it, that He's collecting those prayers, and at some point in the future, He's going to tip that bowl out on all creation and all things are going to be made right. God is going to answer your prayers, church. Amen? He is going to answer our prayers. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. For everyone who asks will receive. Everyone who seeks will find. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened.
Thank you for listening to the Maplewood Nazarene Podcast. Maplewood Nazarene is affiliated with the Global Church of the Nazarene, a Wesleyan Holiness denomination with congregations all across the world. If you are in Springfield, look us up at 110 Lawnview Avenue, or you can find us on Facebook or at www.maplewoodnazarene.org.